Hey there.
Oh, this is welcome to Car Talk, everybody. We're back on the Car Talking podcast where we figure out which compact SUV Richard's going to get and why it is a Toyota.
We will come on to this later. We have serious guitar-related subjects this week, surely.
You can fit lots of guitars in a Toyota Highlander.
We could call this episode the Not a Car. No, that wouldn't work.
Yeah, we could. You'd have to use an umlaut over the A, and that has a different sound. As this week I discovered whilst looking for Pink Floyd-related names that use Swedish lettering, but couldn't find any.
Pink Floyd-related names.
Can't say anything else. It's an exciting project that's happening many moons in the future.
I was just wondering, is there any, like, snap together solderless car kits that we could get for you?
I've always fancied the Caterham 7 based on a Lotus 7, which is a car kit. But yeah, right now he's taking his headphones off. Let's talk about the biggest pedal release of the last week.
You're segueing. That's a segue.
Trying to segue. We were segueing a little bit like Paul Blart Mall Cop, I would say. There's a reference for all the American kids. So, did you guys, by any chance, see something about a certain pedal company from, are they from Kansas? I think they're from Kansas City. One of the three Kansas campuses we spoke about.
I think they're from Kansas City, Missouri.
I think it's Missouri.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is weird because the same city resides in two different states. So
same difference to a Brit. There, yeah. It's all Wizard of Oz to us. Not a Klern from, is that how you pronounce it? I didn't actually watch the video, so I don't know how
they pronounce it. Not a Klon.
Not even a Klon.
But the umlaut would make it something different, surely. It'd be like, not a Klern.
You're overestimating. What?
I mean, that's like, still Motorhead is not new to
that. That's right. It's Motorhead, but this looks cool because it's got It's Motorhead, but it looks cool because it's got punctuation.
No, it's Motorhead. Surely. I've been saying it wrong all these years.
Motorhead. Can you imagine Lemmy standing up there and be like, all right, everybody, hi, we are Motorhead. No.
He was a legend amongst men.
He was. Yep.
But the Nauticlon from JHS, I'm going to say marketing genius, but I have issues, of course. The main one being that we didn't think of it first, right?
Yeah.
And we didn't make that sweet, sweet money.
I mean, I don't know if I've talked about this publicly or not, but I think it's cool that he kind of opened the door for a lot of companies like us to be like, well, what do you know? We happen to have lots of circuit boards that need put into enclosures.
Right. I'm going to just put a pin in that.
We will gladly sell those to you.
I'm going to come back to that, Bri. I'll put a pin in that. But like literally, It was a genius move because it sold lots very quickly. How do we know? Because they tell us about this, apparently, which is a bit weird. But the other thing is...
Thank you. I just made $300,000. Thank you.
Doesn't sit with a British sensibility, but he's American, so
Americans, I don't think it's that big of a deal.
Right. In England, we probably don't... do things quite that way. But hey, you know what? Never mind. But what really gets me about the genius of it is he's literally taking like what his assemblers manufacture, removing the cost of that assembly, passing it on to you, the consumer, and turning it into a product. And that is spotting a gap and filling it immediately in a genius way.
It's brilliant. It reminds me of on day one, whenever you get a new employee who's assembling pedals, you're like, all right, here's the manual. Here's how we do it. Here's everything you'll need. Wait, you know, so at some point, Josh is like, why am I doing this? Why don't I just sell this
right.
to others? I'll just give them the manual, them the parts, you put it together.
The really clever thing, though, that they did, because there's been DIY kits forever.
Oh, yeah, right? It's not new.
And there's even been pre-populated so DIY
I'm kits. I'm going to put a pin in the word DIY kit as well right there. I'm just going to say two pins, DIY kits for Brian and DIY kits for Blake.
DIY kit for Brian is a pile of parts.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. But
this would be a very boring thing for me.
Yes.
Just put it into a closure.
Right. But like this is what they did, though, that was that for your average guitar player. Your average guitar player doesn't own a soldering iron.
And probably shouldn't.
And if they do, it's probably the big chisel-tipped Radio Shack, like one that you can't control temperature on, and it's just going to be a disaster. Or it has
the tank of propane underneath it.
Right? You know? So your average guitar player does not own a soldering iron. Why would they? They don't do a lot of soldering for the most part. Now, I guess as a population, guitarists probably do more soldering per capita than Joe Guffers. And Jane Public,
yeah,
but
yeah, right.
But still, most of them don't do it. So the snap together nature and the solderless idea is what sets this apart, and I think why it was so successful, because people saw that like, oh, I don't really know how to solder. Oh, I've always been curious about how a pedal goes together. Oh, this looks really easy to do.
Yeah,
I can handle this.
It is. Yeah,
I would say
you can use an adjustable wrench. You're good.
Analogous to the kind of adults that make things out of Lego instead of making like radio control models.
I think it's actually way more simple than Lego.
Well, it's a very simple Lego kit. But you know what? If that's your thing, then I agree with you, Blake. This is like a stepping stone to DIY for some. Not all, but some of the guys and girls making this will end up making a DIY pedal. That I love. Others will be the subject of a meme involving Ralph Wiggum from The Simpsons saying, I'm now a pedal builder. Because
very much. Yes.
There is zero actual like DIY skill involved in putting a ribbon cable and some screws together. It's very, very low rent. But it's the equivalent of building a model, that's why they went with the Lego.
The IKEA leaning thing. Like very most people clever. With much frustration can put together a piece of IKEA furniture with the included tools. And that's exactly what this is.
I really love the fact that he printed the whole thing on like a sprued circuit board and the tools were cut out of the sprue. I thought that was really clever.
Coming from the electronic side, there's nothing you can, well, I guess you could desolder stuff, but it doesn't come with the schematic. So you can't be like, okay, well, I'm going to change R3 and C6.
Yeah, that's not who this is for.
Yeah, it's not that type of thing at all. It's very much like...
I
told
you,
like,
I stuck a pin in you, Wombler. We'll come back to this.
Putting the knobs on the pedal. It's more like that.
I mean, which, by the way, is both the most tedious and most exciting part of pedals, right? The first time, like if you're building a DIY pedal, the first time you put knobs on it, you're like, I've made a pedal.
Yeah, it's this cool. Yeah. Fantastic. If you're not like super into that stuff, it's really cool.
Yeah. But the third or fourth time you've had to take it off because you've had to take it apart because something wasn't quite working, you get very bored of that side of it.
Yeah.
And taking apart pedals that you send me in order to figure out what's going on with something is always a hassle for me. But
it's kind of a pain in the butt. Yeah.
Yeah, and I get that. And I really, like I said, many, many genius elements. The fact that he's been able to emulate the stylings of IKEA in a way that is not legally reproachable is fantastic. Because everyone got the reference, yet at the same time, it's just him doing what he does. I love that.
Yeah,
I love the packaging, everything about it, and I love the fact that for Christmas, loads of people are going to get this. If someone sent me this for Christmas, don't send me one for Christmas. If someone had just sent me one of these for Christmas, I would definitely have been like, that's a really cool idea. So as a gift, as a bit of merch, and I'm going to use the word as a gimmick in the pedal industry, this is the best I've seen for a very, very long time, I would say.
Oh, yeah. I wouldn't personally buy this just because I just wouldn't. But if somebody gifted it to me, I'd be unreasonably excited.
Don't send Blake one.
Don't send me one. No, I have plenty of pedals.
I want the version where it's the pile of parts.
Well, I'll come to my pins in a minute, good sir. Let me fit it. No.
I have one major pin, and maybe this is related to something you were going to say, Richard, but having been working with Sean at Gun Street for a while now and seeing a lot more of the pains of offering anything that the user actually has to install or do anything with, that part makes me less envious, because you know some jabroni is going to be out there and be like, I put it upside down and microwaved it. Why doesn't it work anymore?
I haven't looked in detail. I'm assuming that the ribbons are one way and there's like a blocked out pin or something so that you cannot fuck the installation of a ribbon up at all.
Yeah, there's going to be some...
I'm not on the Patreon, Bri. I just said the F-bomb.
Oh, I'm sorry.
11 minutes and 30 seconds.
I got it marked.
Right. I marked it too. Yeah,
I'm assuming
someone that uses like a big, huge ratchet, like a 4-foot ratchet to like tighten the nuts on the potentiometers.
I know it came with these little tiny circuit board ones. That's not going to provide enough torque.
We're going to use this torque wrench.
Yep. And get her up to about 90 foot-pounds.
Look, you can laugh, but it's very easy to do these things and just don't talk about them on the show. Right, back to my pins, Bri. All right, so pin one is very much... I think this is a gateway world to DIY, and I've recently become interested in my DIY.
I was going to say, I hope so for my next venture that's coming. Well, I hope it is.
I mean, look, I'm not going to blow any more smoke up your ass than you... Oh, I've said another swear. Does that count as a swear?
That doesn't count. Well, it's only that word.
Because you had some this week, and I'll discuss that in a minute. But you are definitely... Yeah,
that is true.
You had some what?
Many F-words. F-words. Yeah.
Definitely those, yes.
Yeah. Lots of those every week.
But look, if I'm going to talk about people who I look to as, you know, the kings of DIY... Obviously, the magic trio, the Three Stooges, is you, Robert, and Josh. But you're probably more known for your DIY circles.
Apparently, I am the circuit guy, even though legitimately Robert Keeley could walk circles around me regarding circuits. So, yeah, for some reason, I'm the circuit guy.
I think it's just because you've put out way more content around that, it's content related, for sure.
I like teaching people like the basics of how stuff works.
Why?
Yeah.
If I wanted to learn the basics of how stuff worked, Bri, could you perhaps guide me via some form of online course?
There's a possibility that there is a pre-sale going on for a course at guitarpedalcourse.com. That will help a person maybe learn the basics of guitar pedal electronics.
Interesting.
Sounds like a scam. Don't go to it.
100% don't go to it.
Mm-hmm.
But no, joking aside, I like the idea of we've talked about before doing some DIY releases. I'm seeing something maybe co-branded, Oliver Wampler DIY kits. But, you know, for me, it wouldn't be satisfying to assemble a pedal. Like, assembling a pedal is something I only do when I have to. I have a box of circuits down here. It's something I've done a lot. For me, it would be more satisfying to have something, at least with some kind of circuit learnetry going on. Is that a word, learnetry? Made it up.
It is now.
Yeah, yes. Why not? You're Americans. You do this to my language all the time. And then coming back to your pin, Blake, which was also DIY kits. No, I think I'm with you. I like the idea that so many people are going to make this. And I think it is going to make people at least question, you know, their DIY propensity.
Yeah, I think it's a cool like gateway drug for that kind of thing, you know? And if people have never ever actually thought about it, which is most people, about like what goes into a pedal, it's a good opportunity for them to learn like some really bare bones stuff. Like, oh, that's how the pot's attached to. I didn't even really know right. how that worked. Like, oh.
Yeah. And like me, I'm secretly hoping people will say, but I wonder how the overdrive circuit itself works. Maybe I should look on guitarpedalcourse.com
right.
and figure so this out. I can
get my information. Right,
that's not a secret. You just announced it to all of our listeners. That very much makes it the exact opposite of a secret, okay?
You just basically whispered in the ear of like 10,000 people. So, you know, that's cool.
Well, I mean, just whatever you do, don't go to guitarpedalcourse.com to figure that out.
Okay. We won't.
Okay, that's enough of your advertising for one show, Wampler. Well,
Richard and I are going to charge you for that.
I'm writing a check right now.
Yeah, that's right. I figured you were.
0.0 pennies.
Wait, you just sent us an invoice.
Huh. But, you know, clones are something...
That's what we call the reverse Uno card.
clones are something we know a little bit about, Bri. We came top of a Best Clones 2023 shootout from Guitar World. And I don't know, maybe there is some clone activity this year from us. Who knows?
You probably
word on
do.
This, word on yeah. the street is, when does this go out? The 28th or 9th or something?
This goes out word one on the week street before is in a, the thing that you're yeah, thinking
and,
of.
Yeah, and about a week, there'll be a release of some sort.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Who knows?
It may have something to do along these lines.
Yeah. Maybe.
Yeah. Might.
Could do. I think we should move Let's on see. Rather rapidly.
Wow. Well, the Wampler Tumnus Deluxe was number one?
Yes.
Really?
Anyway.
I was going to say, wait till they figure out what's coming a week later then.
Exactly. They're going to be so excited about your new delay pedal.
No, it's the buffer. I guess another guy we should have mentioned in our DIY bit was definitely John Cusack as well, because I reckon he'd run circles around everybody in terms of Cusack's electronics knowledge.
Pretty damn bright when it comes to circuit stuff. Yep.
Yeah, he must have built more circuits than most people. And
A lot of people don't even realize that he's probably designed, I don't even know what the percentage would be, but he's designed a lot of the circuits for guitar pedal companies that you're probably familiar with.
I mean, he's openly
even some
done
of the big ones.
He's openly done stuff with JHS in the past.
Yeah, I was going to say, he's done some JHS stuff, for sure.
I believe he was part of the team that put together the Muffaletta and like some of that stuff. And that was pretty, that was public.
All the multi, like the Bonsai, the Muffaletta, what else did they do with the multi-mode?
There's one more. Buff,
the Tube Screamer. There is one more, right? Am I stupid? Well, yes.
Yes, the rat.
The rat.
The rat. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The rat's bane. Not the rat's bane, that's us.
That's us, right. Oh, geez.
Wait, John Cusack got his medication again.
What is the rat one called? Damn it. It's cool, too. I'm literally looking at it.
It's got...
But there's no name on it, John.
The multi-ratter. I can't remember.
The multi-ratter from JHS, yeah. Anyways, yeah, Cusack designed that stuff.
Pack rat.
Pack rat, there you go. Mm-hmm. Not Ratsbane. What am I saying? The JHS Ratsbane. Get it now.
Get it now.
At Sweet Center or Guitar Water.
At SourCenter.com. Wait a minute. Where are we?
At SamWater.com.
Well, look, if we are going to start talking about things that are clearly nonsense, I was reading somebody talk about Paul McCartney definitely having been killed in the 1960s and being replaced by someone called Billy Shears. And their argument for it was a video of pre-1966 Paul playing guitar and post-1966 Paul playing guitar. And there was a difference in his finger-picking style. And I'm like video me over 2, 3, 4 years. I will change how I do things all the time. So this is in... no way evidence.
Yeah, I was gonna say, there's a difference in how Brent Mason picks now because of, you know, muscles and stuff. Thing, like, learned to play a little more efficiently.
Right.
I was trying to think, there was someone I just talked to that just met Paul McCartney. Who was that? Was that
Ringo
Corey?
Star?
I forget.
Snoop Dogg?
No, it's one of our artists.
I have beef with Snoop.
Anyways, but yeah, so can confirm is the real McCartney.
The real Billy Shears.
This is where you need your special sting. Don't leave me hanging, man. Make the noises happen, because this is literally a world podcasting exclusive, and you heard it right here from Brian Wampler.
That's right, can confirm, Paul McCartney is indeed a real human being and did not die in 1969. You heard that here on the Chasing Tone podcast. Stay tuned for more updates like this. Next up, we reveal what Sting does in his private time. The wrestler, not the bass player.
By the way, did you see that? I think he would take that as an affront. You mean the multi, like, Grammy award-winning artist? No, the bass player from the Police.
The bass player from the Police.
Is that the dumbest music-based conspiracy theory ever, that Paul McCartney was killed and replaced by an actor called Billy Shears, who they gave clues to in songs? Or can you think of something dumber?
It's one of the dumbest. It's also pretty fun, though. Like, it's fun to talk about.
Of course, it's a great... it's almost as good as the backwards masking lyrics in songs. That's, you know, these are two of the great tropes of our time. Then third would be Elvis is still alive. That would be the other one. But, I mean, even if he was still alive, like, 20 years ago, he's probably dead now. So... another podcast exclusive. Oh, Elvis Presley is still dead.
That's true. Yeah.
Newsflash. Elvis Presley turns out still deceased.
And do we think that the company behind ChatGPT will soon cease to exist, seeing as they fired their CEO, who then immediately joined
Microsoft? It'll just be acquired by Microsoft.
And there was a letter of 670 out of the 700 employees basically said, yeah, we're going with him.
Well, that isn't quite what they said. They said, we don't believe in the board and you need to sort things out, but they won't.
Right.
So,
and the board immediately said, tough, we're staying.
Yeah, so that's interesting. It sounds like they've taken advice from, I don't know, maybe some AI advised them. How do we run our company?
It probably was, should we fire the CEO?
Yes, he knows too much. Sack Sam Altman immediately. Do we want to go into the details of that, or can people Google it?
They can Google it. We don't need to go into the details.
It's kind of a story.
I mean, the thing I was telling Amanda last night, though, is if everyone does go to Microsoft with Sam, it's basically, that is the new Rondo.
Love the fact that you're lying there in bed. And Amanda's trying to go to sleep, and you're like, let me tell you the other thing about large language neural networks that I've learned this week. Because I know you want to hear. Speaking of, she made an amusing comment on a comment you made about the waxwork model of Jimi Hendrix at Madame Tussauds in London, which my wife visited last weekend. What was your beef, Mr. Wampler?
I don't believe that strat is set up exactly how Jimi Hendrix. Did you check the nut to make sure? I don't think it was. I think they just took a guitar, took a plain old strat, turned it out the other way around, and called it a day.
You reckon the strings are the wrong way around, and the nut?
I think that's just the beginning of it. I don't think they changed the bridge. I don't think they changed the nut. Nothing.
How dare you? How dare you, sir, besmirch the good name of Madame Tussauds Wax Museum?
But I gotta say, Bri, that is the kind of level of detail you would expect them to get right. Easily done.
If I was in the wax museum, that's what I would be looking at. I'd be like, all right, let's see what you did on this nut here. What's your figure about?
It did look pretty cool.
I haven't seen the image. Did they make the guitar out of wax, or do they just take a strat and flip it upside down and stick it in the wax guy's hands?
I'm guessing the latter. The former would be insane.
You didn't touch the guitar?
I wasn't there. Anna went with my daughter. Otherwise...
Okay, I thought you were.
Okay. I would have entirely have seen your issue straight away and it probably rung you up from there and went, Bri, You're not going to believe this.
Yeah, there'd have been some FaceTiming going on.
It's a Squire, but they rubbed out the Squire logo. The headstock is definitely a post-1975 headstock, and there's four nuts on the... But yeah, that would have happened. No, that was just Anna going, Anna and Lee.
Hold on, let me pull the back off. Oh, jeez. 500K pots. What's going on in here?
Please step away from the wax models, Mr. Wampler. We've banned you from this before. They did have a really cool looking life-size Jabba the Hutt, though. I'm gutted I didn't go just because.
Yeah, the Star Wars stuff looked really cool.
Looked really cool. But yes, that was pretty amusing, especially Amanda's response. Speaking of pretty amusing, though, I was watching your Saturday Night Live television show the other day.
It's not mine. It actually belongs to the entire country.
Well, I think it belongs
to Lorne Michaels, actually.
I've never really found it funny. I am yet to find something in it where I get all the references and I find it funny. Like, it's always like, Chad Randomer was seen doing this. And it's like a kind of response to something that's happened in American news that's like deep down only in like, I don't know, three states. Right. So I never get it.
I have no idea what you're saying. Yeah.
Exactly.
I get it.
So I never find it funny. But this week it had Jason Momoa on it. And like, maybe you can explain this to me being one of the kids, Blake. What is the deal with Romans? Why do people want to know so much about Rome? and how has this become a thing?
You guys don't spend a lot of time thinking about ancient Rome?
I mean, I have spent some time in my life thinking about ancient Rome, but why is that a thing?
But like, you know, like five times a day or more, you don't think about the gladiators. You don't think about, you know.
Not since being in Rome have I thought about Rome more than once in a day. I can say that. So where's this come from? Is there like a meme?
I thought everybody thought about ancient Rome.
And you're tooling with me, as they would say.
You guys mean to tell me you don't sit there and ponder what Julius Caesar was thinking back in the day? You don't sit there and...
I think he was like, I need to start a pizza company. That's what he was doing.
I'm going to sell it for $5.
And when he started a pizza company, we're calling it Little Caesar's Pizza. That's what we're going to do. And it's going to be cheap. Not going to be real good, but it's going to be cheap.
It's going to be cheap.
And it's going to be big in America, especially in Central America.
My first exposure to American pizza was a Little Caesar's pizza.
And you're like, what in the hell is this?
Yes and no.
Crap.
Because I discovered something, which is that you put like garlic salt and chili flakes on pizzas, and that I enjoyed.
Sometimes.
They didn't do that in England. But anyway, why should one be thinking about Rome five times a day? Blake, explain.
Oh, it's the greatest empire that has ever existed. I don't understand why you wouldn't be thinking about it all the time.
The Mongol horde begs to differ, but sure.
That was too long ago. We can't ever think about that one. That's ancient history.
I'm still none the wiser. Is it like a comedy sketch?
It's a meme. It's become a meme. Yes, it was like.
But from where?
I don't know. I don't know where it came from originally. Look up knowyourownmeme.com.
Probably came from like Reddit or something.
Do your own research.
If you know, please tell me.
The meme basically is like, men will spend, you know, 5 hours a day thinking about ancient Rome, but 0 hours a day on personal hygiene or something like that. You know, like it's just.
I understand it more now. That's put some good context into it. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, anyhow, on Saturday Night Live, Jason Momoa was like rapping a song about how he thinks about ancient Rome, wearing like a gladiator's outfit. And at one point, there is a shot of him with the roof of the Pantheon above him, and he is literally looking exactly like the graphic on the Pantheon. Like, not exactly.
So you're thinking trademark violation, obviously.
What I was thinking.
Well, let me just write this down and get this to my lawyer real quick.
Yep. Dear Mr. Live.
Lorne Michaels, I demand you cease and desist this broadcast immediately or face the consequences.
I notice you have money. I like money. I want some of yours.
Mm-hmm. Pay me immediately or be thrown to the lions in the depths of the Colosseum. Oh, no, I've done it again. I'm thinking about it again.
Did you see the sketch I'm speaking of, Blake?
I did. I don't know how or why, because I didn't look it up, but it came across my desk. And right. I did watch that particular one.
Very, 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 very amusing. I was questioning my own sanity when that happened, but no, I am still.
Oh, I thought of another. Sane. There's another meme. You've seen the meme where there's the guy laying in bed and his significant other is looking at him with like kind of an angry face.
Yes.
And the bubble's like, I think he's probably thinking about other girls. And then like in his mind, it's ancient Rome, of course. That's what he's thinking about.
Mm-hmm. In Brian's case, large language neural networks.
Mm-hmm.
Which ones, though? Not ChatGPT anymore. Now it's Claude.ai.
Have you not programmed your ChatGPT to create?
I did. This is what frustrates me. I have a very specific pedal-based GPT that I created.
So what's
and
all
now
that?
It's still going to be gone.
But it isn't now, gone yet. You can still use it.
Pretty soon I'll be like, make me a schematic for an overdrive, and it's going to spit out a picture of like Mickey Mouse or something.
No,
like
it. Just give it you won't a be finger. Mickey Mouse. It'll be Elon Musk. He'll be like, I just bought this company, and now it's worthless.
It'll just have the Windows logo. It'll just have the Microsoft Windows logo or something.
It was very interesting, though. Today on the radio, there was a show about, you know, teachers having to, like, every week now, teachers are saying, this was written with AI, you can't submit this. And they're saying in this country now, in universities, they're essentially going to run all essays as 8-hour, sit in front of a computer and write an essay without access to any internet scenarios, because it's just impossible to police. It's impossible to not, you know, use these tools. But interestingly, teachers were saying, but we use ChatGPT all the time. It's brilliant for lesson plans and such like. I'm like, well, you should be teaching your kids that. But also, yeah, it's changing everything, Bri.
Well, pretty soon, according to Sam Altman on Joe Rogan, what was it, a week ago or whatever it was, he was saying that wearables are quickly going to become like the thing we transition to. So maybe,
sorry, did you say werewolves? As in like werewolves?
No, like...
Yes, like, we're quickly going to transition to werewolves.
A hat, let's say, a hat that you wear that will literally interface your thoughts
with the
internet.
It's already happening!
Blue moon, boom, 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 boom. You saw me... Oh, sorry. We're going to translate into weevils. Moon. What?
Every time I think of Blue Moon, I just think of bad beer.
Why? It's not that bad.
It's not that great, though.
It's better than...
It's better than like Miller Lite or Bud Light or Michelob Ultra or whatever. It's better than that stuff. Sure, for sure. Like if you're on a plane flying somewhere and you're like, I want a good beer, and they bring you Blue Moon, you're like, eh, okay. Like,
okay.
But if they bring you a Miller Lite, you're like, I'll just have water.
Thank yes. Yeah, pretty much. That's exactly
what's
it.
What's this got to do with weevils and werewolves, Bri?
You said Blue Moon.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Right, back to the werewolves or whatever it was you were talking about. Wearables. Hats.
Wearables.
Wearables. Not fungibles, although it feels like you may have taken some. Yeah, I mean, it's going to change us all.
Do you have some?
Maybe.
Really?
I'm looking around to see what I can sell him as fungibles. Got some old shoe polish that might do the trick.
Just scrape some skin from your backside. Like, here's some fungibles.
Whoa!
Every part of that's wrong. Tell me about the wearables I'm losing.
Did I just enter a Ren and Stimpy episode? Like, what's going on right now?
I've been watching a lot of children's shows lately. I'm sorry.
My daughter has got Ren and Stimpy tattoos. I'm just going to let you know that.
Really.
She loves them. Yeah, that was how I reacted.
Oh, that's great. That's wonderful.
Yeah, come see me when you're 40. tell me how you loved having those cartoons.
I don't know that much about it. I just know that I listened to the Joe Rogan interview with Sam Altman and found it fascinating.
Yeah.
That's basically it.
it is changing everything. 100% is changing everything. But, you know, it could be a good change.
I guess, like, my biggest point is that if he's saying really, really soon, people are just going to be able to, like, ask Google the answer immediately. So why bother learning it?
Yeah, but people are going to forget how to do anything.
He's saying it's going to be, knowing is going to be intertwined with connecting to the internet.
Yes.
So you think, but it already is. You search for it in your mind, and it puts the information in your head, and you spit out the information.
So riddle me this, Batman. I don't know when the last time any of you have had a power outage or, you know, had, like, unintentionally no internet access.
Yeah. Which is horrible, by the way.
Yes. Which is not great. And especially beautiful. For what we do.
I call it beautiful. In lack of internet access, that's known as vacation time.
It makes it very difficult to play Xbox online, I'll tell you that.
My point is these systems are more fragile than we really think about. And so if people become fully dependent on some sort of wearable or interface like that, and that's just what it is, are they going to all just become drooling morons every time the internet goes out or their router glitches?
We are back to Idiocracy.
It looks like Idiocracy more and more, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
It does. Like, there are going to be people, like, trying to read the manual for a sat-nav as if it were the map. Going, they used to read books to find places. This is a sat-nav book. This must be it. Because, like, I guarantee my daughter's generation will never learn how to read a map. It's just, why do I need it? Google tells me where to go. Until, you know, someone takes over Google and sends you to the wrong place.
A road schematic, if you will.
Mm-hmm. A road schematic. Yeah.
I will not.
Yeah, a road schematic. Mm-hmm. So let me ask you guys something. I want to take your temperature on this, because we're of different generations, and we talk a lot about, especially last Patreon episode, I feel like we talk a lot about old tech that doesn't feel like it should be that old, right? We talked about GeoCities websites, and we talk about, you know, LimeWire and things like that. We also talk a lot about tape delays and, you know, vinyl emulations and lo-fi this and lo-fi that, and how we now have come to embrace these as musical tools. Did you guys ever think we would see a day when a pedal company chooses to embrace bad MP3s as a tonal tool?
By the law of Brownian motion that tells me that every idiotic idea will eventually surface, yes.
Yes, but did you actually ever think that would be a desirable thing?
No, I think that's a terrible idea.
I want the tonality of an MP3 that's about 26 kbps or whatever it is, right?
Yes, but
yes, 26, well, maybe that you infamous bit rate.
26. Yes. It's, everyone uses the 26.
Yeah, it's got the best tone.
Yeah.
I know. 128 is as low as I go, fellas.
Well, that has been a plugin for many years from a company called Goodhertz. And now Chase Bliss has introduced the pedal version of the Lossy. And I'll admit, when Joel told me about this, I was like, you know, I came up around that time, and I remember that stuff being really frustrating. I'm not sure if I'm sold on this idea. Well, no. I spent an afternoon with it, and I get it. It is a lot of fun the way they've implemented it, because you can control the degradation of things via your playing, not just what you are doing on the pedal. And I was able to coax some things out of it that I really, really enjoyed. And I'm kind of shocked, because I wasn't sold on the concept at all.
I've got a bit of news for you.
It's basically just a super good lo-fi pedal.
Yeah. It's sort of
a different kind of lo-fi pedal, though.
Look,
it doesn't sound like tape grain or whatever.
Any pedal is good. That's my theory. Any pedal, anything you plug a guitar into and can twist the knobs to, you can get something good out of it. This is a bit
if a person's creative, you can always find a use for it somewhere in some way.
Articulated much better than I did. But I'll give you an example of a pedal like this that is nothing like this. Like the Slicer from Boss. It's a fantastic pedal. I've never, ever used it except to go, this is cool. Oh, and that one time I got really high and like started playing with the arpeggiator and like this really cool bass line and just like did it for like 4 hours in a row. Just sat there like pinging one note off at a time. But other than that time.
Yeah, you get it.
And look, creativity comes in different ways and we all have these spurts. But generally speaking, I'm never going to think about buying a pedal that does anything other than the distorts, the modulations, the reverbs, and therefore the delays.
Yeah, I'm pretty old school. So
maybe the wahs. Like
I want gain, man. Give me some more gain.
How much more gain could you have in your life?
That's like asking how many more pizza can you eat?
Like
the answer is N plus one.
That's true. Okay.
Last night, Nigel Farage, who is one of the worst politicians in UK history, he's the man who basically made Brexit happen, was on I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here, where he's been paid a record £1.5 million, apparently. And he ate a pizza, well, he ate several slices of pizza, consisting of, I'm not going to say it, Bri, because I can see you're already turning a bit green, but of some of the worst things you can think of.
I'm ready to hear it. I want to hear it.
Oh, okay, I mean, there were certainly various assorted penises, nipples, and grubs. How about that?
Of all the things I was expecting you to say, only one of those was I imagining.
It was terrible.
Well, terrible. He deserves it.
He does. Speaking of American food,
I don't know who this person is at all.
as we are now on the American food subject... I ran out of food over the weekend.
That is not American food.
No, well,
that is
pizza
not American
is.
Food.
Pizza.
No, pizza is Italian, and no, none of American. Those toppings no, are American food.
Julius
no.
Caesar says it's not exactly Italian anymore.
And where would Caesar get his pedal courses from if he was looking to do pedal courses, Brian?
I hear he likes the website guitarpedalcourse.com.
Excellent.
I will now be able to make my lute distort.
I'm interested in the Chase Bliss Lossy. I would never
looks
purchase
cool.
it.
I like it. Yeah. I like their site too, man.
Yes. By the way, they've done some of the best stuff on the web. They made this one audio toy at one point. It was fantastic. So I dig a lot of what they do. But I wouldn't buy that pedal. But I dig it. I understand.
I noticed this, I was not actually super familiar with Goodhertz, the plugin company before it. So this is kind of a different segue. I've wondered for a long time if we would see plugin companies do things with effects pedal manufacturers.
I mean,
we've seen pedals get turned into plugins.
That's what Audio are doing, arguably.
Yeah.
Warm?
Yeah. I mean, I see them as a sort of plugin company, kind of.
Warm Audio? I see them as a high-end studio clone company. I'm not
sure. Are you sure you're thinking of the same company?
Yeah.
I'm sure I am.
Do they do plugins?
Maybe I'm not. Maybe just delete this bit so I don't look like a complete idiot. Maybe you keep it in.
Too late.
No, what? Oh, they do have plugins.
Oh, maybe I'm the idiot. That could be it. I am. That's the
I believe so.
Secret.
Let me double check. Let's see. Warmaudio.com. I don't know, actually. Let's see. Products, microphones, cables, direct boxes, guitar pedals, preamps, equalizers, compressors, legacy products,
someone else, chat bars. But you know what Warm Audio should do? They should start making plugins. Because that would be perfect. I'm probably confusing them with Waves Audio, to be fair.
I bet it's Waves, yeah.
Waves is a big plugin. But they don't do anything with pedals, do they?
No, but you know who does? Wampler Pedals, who are currently offering you 50% off if you buy the Metaverse plugin from the Wampler website. Just saying.
Wow.
Only $25.
Are these now working with
Pro Tools?
Pro Tools?
An update is shortly to be released, Bri.
Okay.
So it will work with everything.
Soon.
So it's worth buying it now at this lower price because you're going to have access to some advanced chisel.
So the question is, if a person buys now and it gets updated, do they get the update?
They do. As long as they've got a license key, they download the software and re-input it.
Well, I'm so confused. There's so many Wampler ads on this podcast. My brain's starting to fry a little bit. I don't know what's going on right now. What's going on?
It is ad heavy. Yeah, I made biscuits this weekend, Bri. I had no food in the house.
Wampler sausage when you made your biscuits?
I didn't. I should have done. I
think my brain has just been ran through the lassie.
I ran out of food and I found in the cupboard a pack of Bisquix biscuit mix that only required water. And I was like, sure, let's see what happens. And I made them. They came out very biscuity, like how I would expect them. Not biscuity at all, in other words.
Fluffy, though, right?
Fluffy bread. They were fluffy. Yeah. They weren't in any way hard or like caused me dental issues. But I didn't have any gravy or anything to have with them. So I just had them with
butter. I was thinking about that. I really should have just said, okay, get some flour, get some milk, get some sausage. Let's make some gravy, man.
Yeah. I mean, so the night after, I went out and bought some fried chicken that was like oven fried or oven cooked and some gravy. And the biscuit soaked up the gravy and went soft. And I was like, he might be onto a little something here. And I imagined it with a thicker gravy with sausage. And I thought, I understand what he's talking about. It's basically, it's baby food for adults, Bri.
It's kind of.
Perfect that's for chicken the man gravy probably who would enjoys be... a high paced diet, I would guess.
See, when I get biscuits and gravy, I always like to get it with either extra sausage or some additional protein of some sort.
With the honey sauce? Do you like it with the honey sauce?
Honey sauce?
Yeah. Don't get that sauce on me.
How am I going to avoid talking about the fact he said extra sausage and extra protein?
Richard,
how am I going to ignore the fact that you said something about it being firm and not messing with your dental
fellas, down.
It's been a while since we've had a spraying. I enjoyed that. It's refreshing.
I needed that. I deserved it.
We really should mention Satriani, by the way. But what were we talking about? Yeah. Biscuits. Blake's biscuit preferences.
It doesn't matter. Well, I'm sure.
What's the protein, man? What's your favorite?
Sausage, but I love a sunny side up egg along with my biscuits and gravy. There's nothing better than that.
Oh, I thought about that. You know. No, I just had butter on it the first day and it was like having a scone, but not quite scone-like. So let's talk about the mean streets or mean street, I guess. Have you guys caught this? I caught this via our good friend Andy Wood, who posted like a reaction video. But as I get it, or as I understand it, Joe Satriani went on the Howard Stern show with Sammy Hagar, and therefore I'm assuming all of the people who are doing this like Van Halen tribute show or whatever. And they asked him what the hardest thing to play was. And he said it was Mean Street and went into doing a version of it that was not like particularly accurate at the moment, but kind of gave you the idea of what was going on. And I get that a load of internet guitarists have sort of gone, Satriani's basically not as good as me because I can play it perfectly. And then went on to show them play it perfectly. Ignoring the fact that Satriani is in fact a guitar genius who is playing with the, you know, finest musicians in the world, knows more songs and has more talent than is in my little finger. But other than that, yeah, sure, why not?
I can't even fathom the mindset that would be like, well, I can do that better than Joe Satriani. Like, congratulations, you can do one thing sitting on your butt in your bedroom in front of your computer on take 4,000 slightly more accurately than Joe Satriani did in off the cuff in front of millions of people.
Literally off the cuff. Like, I think Mean Streets goes something like this, even though I played 1,000 different songs yesterday that wasn't Van Halen, you know? Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're exactly right.
It's, like, congratulations, you in your bedroom are somehow feeling superior in your musicianship to Joe Satriani. Oh, good. Dust the Cheetos off of your face. Get out in the world. Go touch some grass, you freaking losers. I'm so sick of these
just,
people.
Just for reference, there's nothing wrong with having Cheeto dust on your face. And also, when Blake made that noise, he made some funny faces too.
Some people do touch grass in various ways. Just saying.
Not those people. They're still in their basement. They're probably practically glued to their chair from the Cheeto dust that's built up around them and the accumulated sweat in their sweatpants.
That's why they have touched grass. That's why they're eating the Cheetos.
Oh, no. Not inhaled grass.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Or I'm very confused. Grass. They just need to go touch it. Yes.
See, grass is also analogous to the term marijuana. Marijuana stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, it is. I understand. Mm-hmm. I see what you're saying.
I was saying this, that is how they got to the Cheetos.
That's the most grass they've been able to touch in the last 7 to 8 years.
Yes. I'm still confused. Did you know that our good friend and listener, Mr. Bum Laser, and I am now able to confirm in another world podcast exclusive that it is a mister, at least from the photos, is from the same area of Britain that I am from. He may also have royal fuzz blood. You never know. No?
So are you guys going to get together and laser your bums, or what's the plan? Just curious.
I think he's a pilot, Bri. I sort of checked out some of his photos and they were like pictures of planes and he said, I'm a pilot. They were my two big clues.
I'm going to start posting pictures of planes and say, I'm a pilot and see if everybody thinks that I actually
I think Blake might be a pilot. I've just had some clues.
He might be.
I'm a pilot.
The new Epiphone Peter Green inspired.
Wow, you're just hammering through it. We don't got to burn through all these.
Yeah, we have to talk about this. They've released an Epiphone with a Gibson headstock. That's the headline here. And guess what? It costs more than my Gibson Les Paul cost when I bought it. So I'm old, though.
Yeah, so it goes, you know.
$1,500 for an Epiphone. I mean, you all laughed at me when I paid like $1,000 for my Dave Gilmour inspired Mexican Vintera. But if it was a Dave Gilmour inspired Squire at that money, you'd have definitely gone, are you sure?
Oh, I see. So it's just the shape of it then. Doesn't actually say Gibson. It's just
the shape. No. It's the shape. But the shape is everything.
Well, it's been a point of contention for a long time. I'll be honest. I didn't love Epiphone's old headstock. I liked the one they became known for when they became more of a budget brand. I didn't love that headstock, but when they changed to the slightly more Gibson-y one here, I don't know, probably 3 years ago, I was a big fan of that move. As far as Epiphone having a Gibson headstock, I'm kind of lukewarm on it. I like that the one they changed to was similar, but different enough that you could differentiate the two. I don't know that I care that much if my Epiphone has a Gibson headstock on it or not. So I'm looking at a side-by-side with my Epiphone and my Gibson right now. I wouldn't pay more for it. Let's put it that way.
True. It's no Stratocaster.
Mm. Yeah. I wouldn't want to get an inferior guitar. You know.
Brian's thinking about it.
I was just looking at it. So the headstock really doesn't make a bit of difference to me. What always makes the difference to me is, does it feel like a cheap guitar or not? You know, and some of those Epiphones I pick up, some feel great, and some I'm like, this feels like a $100 guitar.
This is gonna.
I played one of the Epiphone SJ200s right back to back with the Gibson version, and I'm a big SJ200. It's acoustic guitar. I'm a big fan of those models. They're consistently like some of my favorite sounding guitars. And I was surprised to find that in that particular instance, this was at the Gibson Garage, I liked the Epiphone feel better, which I was not expecting.
Hmm. No, so it's just one of those things. This is well worn for us. Like Leela's Epiphone Wilshire feels great for an Epiphone.
Yeah.
And Brian, you love your 335.
Like, my 335, I love that thing.
I didn't really dig
it. Yeah, I love my Emily Wolf. So I think you got a good Epiphone. One. It's great.
But yeah, and this will dovetail into our conversation for Patreon, which we're going to jump over to very soon. I realize we haven't talked about who's going to read the credits this week.
I got you on this. Let's give a big shout out to Bill Bays, Justin Burke, David Tindall, Knight Haas, Dave Trombetti, Shannon Weaver and the band Reduced to Rust, Eric Wilson, Vidar Frosted, Michael Freer, Shauna Arbo of Gun Street Wiring, Rick Calhoun of Honey Picks, Patrice Fournaise, Dylan Talks Tone, Scientific Uppercut, Kevin Harrington, Barry from Grez Guitars, Felicity Who Makes Annoying Memes, Tom Kelly, Jake Young from Man the Helm Podcast, Pigsy, John O'Neill, Robert Carr, Hunter Hudson, Rob Stokes, Jordan from Poison Noises, Nick Spagno, The Twain Kings, Sasha Sir, Jay Stratton, Seth Williford, Harry Post, Grumpy Mike, Harvey Petals, Allison Carroll, Patrick Zeller, Bum Laser, Anthony Stevens, Chris Brown, Philip Carter of the 40 Watt Podcast, Mark Bowman? I think it's Bowman. Christopher Logan. Thanks a lot, guys.
Yeah. So I'm just going to say, closing thought, and this is my segue onto Patreon. I think I've reached an age where looks just don't matter anymore so much. Like, I couldn't care less about the color of guitars other than certain colors. And I certainly couldn't care less about...
than the ones I do care about.
I can care less about the things I don't care about.
But there was a time when everything had to have flame and bird's eyes and quilts and, you know, heritage. Now it's like, that's a nice color. I'll have that. Thank you. Bye. And that happens with cars too. And we will talk about that in a minute.
That's how I feel about relics. I don't care what it looks like. I just care what it feels like. Anyways, love you. Bye.
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 Thanks for listening to the Chasing Dome podcast. As always, if you have any comments, questions, or concerns, you can email podcast@wamplerpedals.com and I'll personally get your email. To email Blake, simply email info@tonemob.com and Richard can be reached at richard@wamplerpedals.com. If you'd like to show your support for the show, the simplest and free way to do that is to share this podcast with a friend, leave a review and a rating wherever you normally get your podcasts. Also, check out Blake's podcast called The Tone Mob. And make sure you check out WamplerPedals.com for blogs, videos, and of course, guitar effects. If you'd like to hear the post-podcast conversations and to get even more content, twice the amount of podcast episodes, simply check out our Patreon at patreon.com/ChasingTonePodcast. Thanks for listening. Talk to you next week.